And that's what this church is doing. It's invading this state. I like a Holy Ghost invasion across the state of Arizona. Woo! Hallelujah. No man can stop that. It's just going to get better in these last days. And Pastor Ian is a blessing. He's been driving us around all day and just got a great heart.
I was going to say, if the glory of God doesn't hit you tonight and do anything for you, his shoes will.
But really, we are blessed to be here tonight. We know it's going to be a prophetic night. We know, you know, sometimes when we have a word for someone and you hear it across the room and you think, that sounds like me. Well, it is for you. It is for whosoever will. So don't think just because somebody over there gets a word and it sounds like it reverberates in your spirit, you take hold of that. You take hold of that for yourself, you know, and write it down and make it plain upon tables so you can run with it. God has a great future for you, and he's got instructions in his word and by the Holy Spirit. And when the two of them agree, it can't get any better. Amen? So let's see what God has for us tonight.
She can preach, I can tell you that. I know I taught her everything. Now, somebody asked me once, why do you play a Katie song at the end of that roar? I said, because two reasons, because it runs all the religious spirits out. And it's a great song. Come on. Now, I know you guys are not religious because I don't go to religious churches, see. And see, we have a great relationship. And so, my daughter's going to be here. It's really something by coincidence that we're here tonight. My daughter's performing tomorrow night. So, I don't know. Well, anyway, we might show up. But it's great to be here tonight. Listen, we travel all over the world. This is our 44th year full-time ministry. Thank you. I'm 43, and I didn't like that laugh at all, right over there at all. I didn't like it. But great things are happening today, and I believe God saved the best for the last. Come on. And can I say that you're at the right place at the right time? Come on, you're at the right place at the right time, and your pastor we've known for like 25 years, like my wife says, and this is a very unique church. We go to all kinds of churches all over the world. We go to churches of thousands, and we go to churches of denominational churches, non-denominational, all kinds of different streams. But God is raising up a new breed and a new church in the land today. Come on. And I believe you're part of it. Amen? And your pastor and his wife, they're cool. Aren't they? Come on. That's what I mean. I believe you need to at least have three cool people in your life because everybody else is boring. But no, we have a great relationship, and what a great anointing on his life. What a great anointing on this church. I think you ought to give him and his wife, even though he's not here tonight, give them a hand because they deserve it. Come on. Now, we operate a little bit different. You know, I dress a little different. And I eat a little different. I comb my hair a little different, you know, But I love the Holy Ghost. Come on. I believe if God didn't want us to have the Holy Ghost, he wouldn't have sent him to us, right? And so some of you might have to find a designated driver tonight to find your way home. I know some of you. No, I know some of you looking at me saying, "Nah, Brother Hudson, I just wouldn't act that way because I have a reputation." Well, that's a problem. You just need to get delivered from yourself. So, great things. I'm going to come down here if that's all right. I like to get closer. Actually, the closer I get, the younger I look. So don't laugh because your day's coming. But we've got a platform. God has given us a platform. And I say this and let people know straight up front. We do not use our daughter. Our daughter is doing what she's doing. We're doing our daughter. We have a great relationship. You listen to this, and some people, and you read stuff in the internet or in the magazine stuff, a lot of it's a bunch of trash. because they like to trash things. But we have a great relationship. I don't use my daughter. We've been preaching the gospel way before she ever came out of that womb. Amen? But it's given us a platform to minister to this generation. And we've got their ear. And they listen to us. That's amazing. Just amazing. I can go in a crowd of young people and begin to just talk. And they find out who I am. I mean, they start talking about church. And all. I mean, it's amazing. But God's given this platform. And it's a great platform. And, you know, I use that. You see, God said he'll make you fishermen men, right? And I told my daughter the other month or so ago, I said, you know, you're scriptural, Katie. She said, what do you mean, Dad? I said, the Bible says he'll make you fishermen of men. You're good bait. Well, come on, if you're going to go fishing, you might as well have good bait. Come on. But God has given us a platform to minister to this generation. Now, I know sometimes, you know, we get a little, you know, people sort of, well, you know, you're a little too old for this generation, you know. No, I'm not old, I'm seasoned. See, there's a lot of difference between being old or seasoned. Now, if you want to get old, you can get old. I'm just going to get seasoned. Amen. Well marinated. But the Lord has opened up a platform so we can reach to them. And we are really touching this generation. And, you know, I found out something about this generation is they don't really care how spiritual you are. Because some church folks are too spiritual. Don't look at anybody. Just look straight ahead. I mean, you can't talk unless you have King James in your vocabulary. Or there's a scripture, you know, come on, you're always spiritualizing stuff, you know. I went to Walmart the other day, you know, and the Lord spoke to me. They had beans on sale, and the Lord said, buy these beans. So I bought a whole case of beans. How many know that wasn't God? Because beans have a reaction, and that is of the devil. Somebody say amen. Come on. You're always trying to spiritualize everything. They don't really care how spiritual. They don't understand a lot of this stuff. And Christians have a tendency to, you know, to validate themselves. Some woman came up to me a while back and goes, hi, Brother Hudson. I said, hi, how are you? She said, well, praise God, I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. The angels of the Lord encamped around about me. My footsteps are ordered of the Lord. Everything I put my hands to prospers. My husband saved. My kids are sanctified. And I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. Come on. And then she goes, and by the way, Brother Hudson, how do you feel? I said, after that, I feel like hell. That's what I feel like. You should have saw her face. My God, she's telling you. It's crazy. See, you see, what this generation is really looking for is the real Jesus and a real person. And you know what? The real thing they want to know is, do you love me? Because really, in reality, the reason you're here tonight and what motivates you every day and what inspires you to come to church and get involved in the things of God is that love that one day, come on, somebody, you got to help this white boy. It touched your life. It invaded your, some of you were desperate for that love and you went in many different directions and one day he showed up. And that's what they really want to know. Do you love me? And the Lord said this to me. He said, I'm going to begin to release a fresh love upon this generation, upon the church. And the world is going to know us, not because we're Katy Perry's parents or what, and we're some apostle or prophet or some move in the great anointings. They're going to know us because of that love. Come on, somebody. That's going to grab them and captivate them. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God loved me so much that he changed my life. I was a yippie in the 60s. I was a Timothy Leary bathtub acid prodigal son. I had 500 tabs of LSD in my back pocket and three in my system at all times. And I had three words, wow. I said it backwards, wow. When I got real loaded, I said, Mom, where are you, Mom? And of course, you guys have never been that way. I know you don't get loaded before, you know, you all come from the Puritan tribe, right? But one day, that love invaded my life and touched my life. I'll never be the same. And God is releasing a love upon the church, and they're going to know, because when we get around people that don't know him, that's what's going to really affect them. That's what's going to grab them. That's what's going to, you know, come on. That's going to, they'll want what you've got. It's not your abilities and your talents. Come on. And that's all good and fine. It's just that love. And can I say something to you? They're waiting on the real Jesus. They're not wanting the church Jesus. Come on, they don't want the religious Jesus. They want the real Jesus. And all we have to do is just be real, down to earth. You know, I have a lot of times I have a problem with religious people more than I have with the devil. No, I do. I get, you know, they come at me all kinds of stuff, you know. And one pastor come up one day and said, Brother Hudson, how could you be a minister of the gospel and wear skinny jeans? I said, because my legs are skinny. Thank you. Like I'm going to hell for skinny jeans. Somebody help me out. Hey? Come on. You know, I believe from generation to generation, a lot of stuff, if I could say it very, was handed down. They had never had anything to do with the Lord. A lot of rules and regulations and stipulate. Come on, I'm helping some of you. You got to help this white boy. Listen, I may not be able to jump, but I can preach if you help me out a little bit. Come on, somebody. I mean, but a lot of stuff has been handed down from generation to generation that had nothing to do with the Lord. And we've run more people out of the church than we have in. Come on. But I'm here to tell you it's a new day and a new time and a new anointing and a new breed of people. Come on. And this generation is waiting and ready. Come on. They're ready, man. I mean, it's so easy. The light is getting light, but the dark is getting darker. And I'm excited. I'm living now. I mean, I hear people say, yeah, I'd like to live back there in the day of, you know, John the Baptist. Or I'd like to live back there in the days of all the prophets. Listen, I'm thankful that I'm living now because they prophesied about us. Come on. They've had visions and dreams. I mean, we're going to be excited when we get to heaven. How many are going to get excited about seeing some of your favorite ones, you know, your prophets? And come on, you're going to be meeting Mary, and you're going to be, come on, you'll see John the Baptist with his head on. That's going to be incredible, isn't it? But can I say to you that they're going to probably be more excited about meeting you than you seeing them? Because they prophesied. They've written books about it. They've had visions and dreams. Great men and women of God that have already preceded and gone on into heaven have talked about this generation. Listen, you ought to be grateful and glad that you're alive and you're living right now. Come on, somebody. And that you're saved. I don't take my relationship lightly. I'm telling you what, it's wonderful. And it's so, you know, there's so much freedom in knowing Him. I mean, it really is. I mean, you know, for so many years, for so long, you know, the church has been so condemning. You know, they come in, you're going to hell. They took a finger. Huh? You're going to hell. God didn't come with a finger in your... Well, He might have you, but I don't know. We better call our driver because he ain't giving us a ride home, I can tell you. He didn't come with a finger in our face. He came with a hand. And that's what we have to do to reach out to this generation is with a hand and accept them just as they are. The Bible says, yet in their sins, come on, He loved us. And I'm telling you, it's a great, God has saved the best for the last. And there is some anointing. We've been traveling, going in. We're in probably in a different country, different state, different city, different church. We're going to Singapore. We're going to Malaysia. We're going to Thailand in the month of November. We're going to a church of Pastor Khan Hee. He has 7 largest churches in Asia. His home church, 26,000 people, and most of them around 18 to 30. They're radical. They got all kinds of tattoos, purple hair. Come on, no hair. Come on, piercings and all that stuff that most of the church would reject. But man, they're turned on. Come on, they're taking Asia by the storm. Are you listening to me? I got a word tonight I want to release so we get. Now listen, we're going to get out of here on time. Is that all right? Because there's nothing exciting at the house unless you got married last night. Some of you look like you lost that loving feeling. I don't know. Maybe we should have a marriage seminar here. I talked to... But I want to drop a word in your spirit, but I believe it's a now word. I believe it's very important that we live in the now. It's not what God has done in the past or what He's going to do. It's now. And we're only responsible for now. So if you've got your Bibles, go over there to the book of Revelation and they can put it up on the screen. God gave me one word. How many know the Lord can only sometimes just give you one word? He don't have to say a whole lot. You don't have to have it paragraphs or sentences or just one word. A lot of times the Lord just gives me one word and I'll be reading the scriptures and all of a sudden one word will just jump out. You ever had that happen? You just be reading the Bible and it, I got one the other day, man. I checked it out. I said, check this out, baby. Oh, look at this. All right. She said, it's always been there. I said, man, you done raid on my parade. You ever get excited about something? You go show somebody and say, yeah, I know that. Shut up. You don't either. When you read the word and a lot of times it jumps out at you, it's no longer information. It's revelation. And let me stop here and tell you that we're living in a day of revelation, and what you need in your life on every situation and whatever you're facing right now is not information. You need revelation. And even Daniel said, seal it up until the end of the time. And we're living in that time, revelation. When I ask God, give me revelation on my ministry, revelation on my money. I've got information. You need revelation. And so when that word jumps out and grabs a hold of you, that's God illuminating it. And when you get revelation, that'll cause you to walk and pray in the perfect will of God. So the Lord gave me this one word when I was reading this scripture. Revelations 4:1, it says, and after these things I looked. I want to underline that in your Bible. Oh, it's not up there. Gosh, the back of my head looks pretty good. I combed it right, didn't I, honey? There you go. And after these things I looked. Everybody say looked. And behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me and saying, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. When I saw that word, look, the Spirit of the Lord said this to me. He said, too many of my people are just looking. Just looking. Look at this. Look at that. Look at my kid. Look at the price of gas. Look, 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 look. He said, tell them they cannot afford to be looking any longer. Listen to me, this prophetic word. He said, I am going to begin to release a seeing anointing upon this generation, and I'm going to turn their looking into seeing. Come on, somebody ought to get a little happy here. Come on. He said, I'm raising up a seeing generation, and I'm releasing this anointing. Listen, you cannot afford to be standing around and looking any longer. Because the multitudes of people that ever followed Jesus, they were looking. There was only a few seers, and God said, I'm raising a generation up. I'm going to anoint their eyes with eyes. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm going to anoint their eyes with eye salve. That's why Paul came along in Ephesians, and he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I don't know about you, but I got to see some things. Some of you got to see some things about your family. You got to see some things about your business. Some of you are businessmen. God wants to make you a multimillionaire, but you're just looking at it. Come on, somebody. But I decree to you tonight, this will be the last night you'll ever look again. Come on, somebody ought to get happy here. You ought to shout a little bit. Come on. We're going to pray that God anoints your eyes and open up your eyes and let you see some things. I started checking some things out about seers in the world. How many know Walt Disney? He was a seer. Thank God for Walt Disney or you wouldn't have Disneyland. Come on, I like Disneyland. And if you go to Asia, it's Disneyland. Mary, they're slow here tonight. Walt Disney was a seer. I could tell you incredible stories about how that came about, of him being a seer. I wrote some things. How about Bill Gates? Seer. Come on. Wasn't Bill Gates a seer? Thank God for that. How about Steve Jobs? Thank God for Steve Jobs or we wouldn't have the toys. Come on. How about Henry Ford? He was a seer. Or we'd be riding bicycles. Got a list of them. How about Picasso? Picasso was a seer. He wasn't satisfied with just a canvas and his paintings. He went for the ceiling. Come on. He saw something. And every year we go to France about probably twice a year. My wife speaks fluent French. Not only does she speak French, but she has the accent and you want to say something, Daddy, and now we're being taped and there's people, so you got to be cool. But I think the French language is very romantic. Don't you? Only thing I know is oui, oui. You want to say, what?
Car Dieu tant aimé le monde qui croit en lui ne périsse point, mais à la vie éternelle. John 3:16.
John, what? I didn't hear that.
Oui, oui.
No, I didn't hear that. You know what I heard? I heard, I'm going to lure you after the service. You get that? You catch it? And there was some other stuff she said. I can't say it over the microphone. I heard it, didn't you? Throughout John 3:16, come on. How about George Washington? Listen, there's a whole list of people that were seers. I asked the Lord after I began to research this, I said, why is it that the world are seers and not the church? Why can't we have some Picassos? Come on, somebody. How about let's get some Steve Jobs in the church? Come on, let some Bill Gates rise. Are you? Come on. I'm looking at some, come on. Some Martin Luther King. Come on, Dr. Martin. Are you listening to me? We need some seers in the church. Now, you may say, well, Brother Hudson, why do I need to be a seer? Because it's very simple. God is showing. Huh? Don't you want to see what God's showing? You know, I took my glasses off. I take my glasses off a lot of time. I clean them. You know, I clean everything. I clean my car. I clean my house. Everything I clean. I got a little dog named Louis, after Louis Vuitton. And he's all white. And he's cute. And he is as cute as a little thing. He's a picky poo. He's a poodle pickanese. And he just loves daddy, you know. And I keep him clean. And I keep everything clean. See, actually, I am Mr. Clean. Give you that side look right there. Can I stop here and give you a little side note that's very important? Your practical life is a direct reflection of your spiritual life. You show me somebody that doesn't take care of things in the natural, I'll show you somebody that doesn't take care of things in the spirit. You show me somebody that doesn't love things in the natural, I'll show you somebody that doesn't love things in the spirit. You show me somebody that's always late in the natural. Uh-oh, you don't like this, and don't get up and try to leave because we will tackle you. You show me somebody that's late in the natural, I'll show you somebody that's always late in the spirit. Your practical life is a direct reflection of your spiritual life. I don't know about you, but whatever I've ever had, I've always taken good of it. Because God says, if you're faithful in the little things, I'll bless you. Some of you want a new car. If you'll just wash it, it'll be a different color. Come on. But I took my glasses off. I was cleaning them one day. And the Lord said this to me. He said, this is what the church is doing. They're just looking. They're just looking. See, I'm looking at you. I know you're out there. I really can't see any definition, can't see your facial expression or nothing, but I'm looking. But when I put these on, bam, now I can see. I can see the expression on your face. Come on. There's a difference between looking and seeing. There's such a difference. You know, this generation is moving towards 3D. How many have been in 3D movies? 3D, man, I mean, they're crazy. I mean, everything is more real and more intense. And so my daughter, her movie, A Part of Me, was done in 3D. Britney Spears was 3D. Justin Bieber, 3D. And the producers that did all of those movies that they've already been out came to us when we were sitting at one of the shoots, because we were in it, my wife and I, and it's about a story. My daughter's raised up and raising up and in the church and everything. And, you know, a guy came, you know, he confronted me a while back and he cleared his throat. When anybody clears your throat, their throat, it's coming. Brother Hudson, how is it that your daughter was raised in church most of her life and she came out with a song, I Kissed a Girl and Liked It? How? I said, how? I don't know. How? I don't know. Come on. Come on. How's a brown cow eat green grass and give white milk? How? I don't know. Come on. How is it my wife? She goes into her walk-in closet. She stands around. Don't say nothing. Turn her mic off.
No, you have to.
In her walk-in closet, she stands around. And I believe God put this in every woman's DNA. I don't have nothing to wear. How? I don't know. I see some more out there. But I do know this. The Bible says in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. I'm here to give you a word of the Lord for you that have a son or a daughter that is out of the will of God. Tonight, they shall prophesy. Come on, somebody. I said, they shall prophesy. So we're sitting there, and the producer of this movie producer that did all these other ones that came up and said, Keith, have you ever thought about 3D preaching? Me? 3D? I'm already Technicolor. Come on. But see, I'm always tweaking my ministry. I'm always working. I'm always making adjustments. See, let me just say something to you, and I'm throwing out some nuggets here, so you'll just have to grab them. You got to have something they want. Are you hearing me? You got to have something this generation wants. You can't go to this generation with a track of four spiritual laws and tell them they're going to hell. Come on. You got to have something that they are attracted to. So he said, what do you think about if we come in our crew and we do a shooting of you preaching 3D? I said, wow. I said it backwards. Wow. I said, really? He said, yeah, I want to come. We had about 1,500 people show up on a Friday night. They had a special service. He came in here with his whole crew. It was a $50,000 bill to do that, and he gave it to us. They filmed the whole thing. Come on, somebody. And we did what we did here tonight, and let me just say they're cutting it, and they're working on it, and soon I'm coming to you in 3D. Come on, somebody. Woo! That'll be crazy, huh? Let me just say tonight, I want to pray for you, my wife and I, in just a moment here. Because more than anything that we could do is prophetically or speak a word of the Lord. And we could probably prophesy over every one of you, but we don't do that. But listen, I do want to minister to some people. But the most important thing is when you walk out of this door tonight, that you are a seer. We were in France and we were getting some bakery in the morning. You know, France is known for the bakery. I mean, incredible. You can actually go into a bakery in France, and if you stand there 5 minutes, your tongue is out, and you've got saliva all over you. It's like, never like ever before. We're going to a bakery. Over there, they have small little streets, and they don't have big cars, and they commute underground in the metro. And there's thousands of people in Paris. If they tried to do it like they do here on the freeways or in L.A. where I live, they'd never make it. And so they ride their bicycles, but the majority of them, they commute and they walk. And in Paris, in the city, in the morning, there's thousands of them. And they're these small little streets that they're going to. And on these small streets, a lot of times you'll find a lady with her kids, and they'll be just sitting there with, you know, a cup and, there's a kid's here, and she's got a cup, and she's hoping somebody put some euros in it. And people are passing by, and then once in a while you'll see an elderly lady. She'll be sitting there by herself, and she'll have a cup, and she's hoping somebody's going to put some euros in it. But it's a very rare thing to see a young person beg over in France. And that morning we were walking down the street, and I looked over there, and here's this young boy, maybe 16 years old. He's sitting on the curb. He's got his cup up there and his head is down. And the first thought that I thought when I saw this young boy, I said, that's somebody's son. As I walked past him, the Spirit of the Lord said this to me. He said, son, I want you to see him as I see him. Because there's a lot of people walking by just looking. Can I say to you, if we're going to be effective to this generation, if we're going to win this harvest, we cannot look at them. Come on, through the eyes of the natural. We got to see them. Come on, somebody. I said, we got to see them as the master sees them, or we'll walk by like the multitude did. They were saying things to that young boy, and they were just looking. So I walked into the bakery and I said, what is it? And the Lord said, I want you to get a styrofoam cup and I want you to stuff it with money. I mean, lots of money, more money than that young boy's probably seen in a long time. And I want you to take it back there and I want you to put that cup in that young boy's hand. So I got the styrofoam, I filled it up, and I told my wife I'll be back. I walked over and here's this young boy. And you know, my heart went out to him because his shirt was all soiled and you could tell he'd been living on the street. And I just could not even begin to imagine what he's been going through and the rejection and just living on the streets. And so I walked over to him and he's sitting there and his head is down and his cup is up. And I'm sure he was embarrassed and humiliated and people are making little remarks at him. And I walked over and I took that old cup that was all messed up on the top and he'd probably been using it for a while. And I placed that big cup, styrofoam cup full of money in his hand. And when I did, it caught his attention. He looked up. He didn't know how much money was in that cup because it was a white styrofoam cup. You couldn't see what's in it. But just for a moment there, all of a sudden, tears began to roll down his eyes. And he began to weep, and I stood there. Now, let me just give you a little nugget here. See, I didn't have to preach to him, and I didn't have to give him a track, and I didn't have to tell him who I am. I stood there. Listen to me. I stood there, and this anointing and this love that God has invested in me began to activate. Come on, somebody. Because when you get in a crowd, listen to me, when you get in a crowd of unbelievers and people that don't know the Master, this love and this anointing, it'll begin to automatically reach out. Come on, somebody. It's going to reach out and it'll grab a hold because God is always looking for somebody to have a relationship. For God so loved the world. Come on, somebody. He loves people. And I stood there. Didn't say anything, but I could feel that same love that captivated me 44 years ago begin to emerge upon his life. And he sat there and he wept and he wept and he wept and he wept. And the more he wept, the more I could tell that he was being free and cleansed. And I mean, it was there. That anointing was touching him. And after a few minutes, I looked at him and all I said to him is, I said, son, remember this, when no one else cares about you, Jesus cares about you. And I walked away. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Can I say to you that that young boy will never forget that day the rest of his life? Tonight I want to pray because the Lord said, son, if you release this word for this generation, I will come behind and I will verify it. I'll anoint, come on somebody, their eyes with eye salve. I'll open up their eyes that you can walk out of this place tonight. I decree and declare tonight is the last night that you'll ever be looking. Come on, you're going to see. Come on, somebody shout. Stand on your feet, let's pray. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Ooh, I feel the anointing up here. How many say, I got to see some things? See, some of you may be at a crossroads. Some of you may be at a situation. Listen, some of you businessmen need to see some things because there's money out there. Some of you need to see some things about your family and your relationships. Some of you young people, listen, you better just not look. Look at her, Pastor. Check her out, Pastor. Look, look. Ooh, check her out. Look. Look, look, look. We're going to get married. Hook it up. Look out. Look. Then you get married, and she says, I do. You say, I do. You go home, wedding night. She starts taking all that stuff off, and you say, my God, I should have saw that coming. And if you live in California, you better be a seer. Come on, somebody help me out here. You know what I mean? You'll get that about dinner time tonight. We must be seers. How would you like to see the book of Matthew or see the book of Revelation? How would you like to see, not read it, see it? I want you to do something. Close your eyes just for a moment here. Come on, guys. Just close your eyes. And if you want to touch your eyes just for a moment. Come on, just touch them just for a moment. There's an anointing in here, and we're just going to pray. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to do something because God answered your prayers. I can't pray for you, but I want you to ask the Lord to touch your eyes. I want you to ask God to make you a seer tonight. Come on. It might be over a situation, a family or money or a business or ministry. Lord, I need to see. Come on, open your mouth. And Father, I thank you right now that God, that we're desperate tonight. We've got to see some things. Lord, we need to see, make a direction, Father. We're making some decisions. We got to see some things for our future and for our business, Lord. Come on, pray. Somebody got to open up your mouth and begin to pray. Father, I thank you that, Lord, I can see some things, Lord. You're going to show me some things I need to see, Father, for my money, Lord. You need to show me where the money is, Father. I thank you for showing that, releasing that now in the name of Jesus, Father, upon this people tonight. Lord, let that seeing anointing touch their eyes, anoint their eyes with eyes have that they can see in Jesus' name.
Yes, even as I do open your eyes of your understanding, don't you see? It's not a fleeting thing. It's something I'm trying to download unto thee. Yes, it's a gesture. It's a movement. Yes, it's something I want you to hear so you can start to flow in a new dimension. Yes, it's there for you. And yes, you'll see it, but don't pass it by. Don't discount it or don't take it for granted, don't you see? It's something specific I'm trying to get over to thee. Yes, it's something that I am showing you in my word, and I'll confirm it by my Holy Spirit too. It'll be obvious and evident that moment, so don't lose track of it too.
Somebody praise him. Come on. Hallelujah. I want you to do something very important. The Bible says, whatever thou shalt decree shall be established. See, your voice has an address in heaven. David never ran after his giant humming or his mouth closed. He began to open it up and decree and declare what he was going to do. Come on, somebody. And if you read the end of it, you'll find out what he had said took place. So I want you to decree something because it's going to open up the atmosphere and it'll be established. And I want you to say it like you mean it. Put one hand towards heaven and say, Lord.
Lord.
Come on, say, Lord.
Lord.
Tonight.
Tonight.
Is the last night.
Is the last night.
That I'll ever be looking.
That I'll ever be
looking.
Now
I want you to shout it out. I'm a seer.
I'm a seer.
Come on, shout it out. Come on, say it. I'm a seer. I'm a seer.
Woo.
Quickly here, and I want to minister to some people here, but there's some things the Lord showed me. If you're a business person, if you have a business, you have a legitimate, you're self-employed, you're not selling weed on the streets of Phoenix, come on, a legitimate job, or you're a business person, I want you to remain standing. The rest of you sit down just for a moment. I have a word of the Lord for you, and then I have some other things I want to do. Now, let me just say something to all of you that are standing. God is raising up millionaires in this day, in this hour. And God wants to raise them up in the church. How would you like to just have enough money if Pastor Mike says, you know, we've got to send $250,000 over there to the missions that we're supporting. You can stand up and go, hey. You got to try that one. Go, hey. Not just, hey. That's when you go, hey, that's a prosperity. Come on. How would you like to have enough money that when you wanted to write a check and you're giving in an offering, somebody, you could write out $1,000 and think nothing of it? I don't know about you, but when I go to my grave, I'd hate for them to walk by and say, boy, he's stingy. You ever go to lunch with him because you paid the bill? We should never be stingy. No, I said we should never. We should, come on, God has blessed us to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing. I shock people when I give them money, man. I shock those people with cardboards. One little gift from me, when they're standing on that corner, they can go retire for the rest of the day. They love me when I come to the airports, man. They fight over getting my bags because they know I'm a good tipper. I'm going to take care of whoever's going to wait on. I'd hate to be called cheap. Now, I know some of you are going, now, wait a minute. You're Katy Perry's father, and you got a lot of money. No, honey, she's got a lot of money. I live by faith. I said, I live by faith. We don't ask her or anyone else. I don't write letters. I don't send you oil or water from the Holy Land. I don't do any of that stuff. I live by faith. Come on, somebody help me. I don't live off of my relatives. I mean, they said in the internet here, we read a while back that Katy Perry's parents were living off the coattail of their daughter making millions of dollars. I said, my God, I wish it manifest. Come on. God wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. Put your hands towards heaven. And there's a word of the Lord for you. God showed me that there was a treasure chest all the way across heaven, like these lights, and they were opened up, and there was filled up to the brim with all kinds of money and jewelry and all kinds of gold and silver and precious stones. And God said, I want to pour it out upon the church. I'm looking for those that are faithful. Come on, somebody. And I want to say something to you. It doesn't matter what this economy gets to be, because we're not living in this economy. We're living in the kingdom of God's economy. And there is no shortage in God. There's a lot of money out there. If you don't believe it, jump on a plane, go to Las Vegas, get you a car and drive down the strip. And if that doesn't make you a believer, park it and go inside. The MGM or some of the others, just walk down those halls. They got more money. Come on, are you listening to me? So God wants to bless you to be a blessing. God's going to give some of you witty inventions. God's going to show you some of this. God's going to show you what to do, how to recreate and create all the inventions. There's not everything has been invented. Are you listening to me? So raise your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I thank you that you're going to begin to pour out money upon these businessmen. Father, these that are, God, that you want to bless. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to raise up millionaires in this church. God, I thank you that you're going to begin to bless them exceedingly abundantly. Father, I thank you. Even now, I hear the Lord said, He's turning around. There's a few of you standing here that it's been tough and rough, but the Lord said, I'm going to begin to breathe upon your business. If you've been faithful, God said, I am going to bless you. Come on, somebody give him a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hear the word of the Lord.
I have given you diplomatic authority from heaven, don't you see? Yes, I have downloaded it to you. So stay connected to me. And even in that connection by the Holy Spirit, there will be plans that you hadn't even thought of, don't you see? Things and ideas that will be shown to you and divine connections too. People even from the outside will come to you. Yes, even King Cyrus's and others that have financial ability too will see the anointing. They won't understand it as that, but it'll be my glory resting on you. So be open to move in different paths as I show you and I lead you, saith the Lord. Don't cross them off and think that's not for you. No, if I'm opening, I'm going to open the windows of heaven as you've given and you've tithed. And yes, have the expectation that it is for you. It's for this end time. Yes, it's for this last hour that I desire to pour out on you, because there are many souls that are waiting to hear this last day end time move of me. They're waiting to hear my gospel, and that word will come through the giving of thee.
Hallelujah. Somebody praise him. Come on. Come over here quickly. Come quickly. You know, when you're standing up there, the Spirit of the Lord said, in these days to come, he said, the anointing that I put upon you, he said, it's going to increase because of the love and the dedication you have for me. And God said, I'm not going to give you a song from a church or a song from an organization or a people, but the Lord said, a song from heaven. And when you stand and you begin to sing it out, the Lord said, it's going to cause people to be healed. It's going to cause people to get set free. So just stay faithful. I've raised you up to be a handmaiden of the Lord, saith the Spirit of grace.
Yes, and even your humility and the spirit of love that flows through you and the deep desire that you have to connect with my Holy Spirit too. And it was like you just flowed into this. It wasn't something you intentionally thought you would ever do, but all of a sudden, one step in front of the other, it became clear to you. It was obvious and evident, and not only that, you had a passion for it, but it was fun for you too. You enjoyed it. It wasn't by rote. It was something that just flowed flowed out of you like a fountain. That's because I'm using you, my daughter, and even the words on the page and even the melodies too and the sounds that I'm downloading to you. Yes, they'll reach people that would never otherwise hear. So continue, 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 and bigger platforms will open too.
Hallelujah. Come on. Praise the Lord. Stand up right here. At the end, stand up here. Yeah, stand up. Just put your hands towards heaven. The Lord said, I have rescued you from the enemy. And there have been times that the enemy would have tried to take you out. But the Lord said, I've taken you in. And yes, the uniqueness, and you've been cut out of a different mold. So don't worry about what they say. Only worry about what I say. And know in these days to come, I'm going to use you as a little Pied Piper to the generation of women that are looking to be set free like I've set you free.
Yeah. And even the deep devotion that you had to darkness too, as it was flipped over like a pancake in midair and you came to me. And yes, and now the love and the compassion that flows through thee. Yes, and the attention and the ability with details that you have too. And the anointing to discern. And before it was something you thought you were just... You were seeing people as they were. No, it was my Holy Spirit seeing through you. And yes, even as you start to pray, yes, use that discernment, don't you see, to make them turn my way. Because there will be people who will look at you. They'll be suspicious, but they'll see my love flowing through you. And they'll be drawn by that anointing that will overcome. It will flow through them too. So rise up, my daughter, and start to speak. Even in dark places, they'll want to hear from you.
Come on, somebody praise him. Now, we're supposed to be finished here, but I'm not going to go over, but I'm going to flow here because, I mean, you know, they ain't, like I said, nothing exciting in the house. If you try to leave early, we'll tell the ushers to tackle you. Amen. Now, let me say something. If you're from the age of 13 to 30, stand up quickly. 13 to 30, not 12 and a half. 13 to 30. Now this is, my heart is for you. This is who God has given us a platform, is the 13 to 30, this generation. You're the ones that are going after the harvest. I said, you're the ones that are going after the harvest. Us that are seasoned in the Lord are standing to be fathers and mothers to you. And to speak wisdom and to pray for you and to love you. But you're going after the harvest because God's got a very unique anointing on your life. And let me tell you something. It takes real young men and real young women to serve God. It don't take nothing to smoke weed. It don't take nothing to go to the clubs. It don't take nothing to act like a fool. Come on, somebody. It does take a real young woman or young man to serve the living God. Come on, with a little pep in your step. And I don't care where you, what they've said about you. Listen, you might have come out of your mother's womb, but you were sent from God. Come on. Before the beginning of the foundations of this earth, God already had it all planned out for you. You're not the X generation. You're the Joshua generation. And if you want to be different, serve Jesus. I said, if you want to be different, serve the Lord. God's going to show you in the night seasons. He's going to begin to show up in your rooms and places, and he's going to give you instructions and visions and dreams. Raise your hands right now. Father, I thank you right now that you're going to release this anointing that you have for this end time harvest upon this generation. And God, I thank you that you're going to begin to visit them in the night seasons, and you're going to show them even at an early age, Father, in Jesus' name. Begin to release it and open up their eyes and their spirit in Jesus' name.
So stir up that passion. Stir up that unique ability that I gave you from the beginning of the foundations of this earth, don't you see? It's within you. And as you make it real, as you bring it out, as you start to flow in that creativity, know that you will have the double portion anointing like an Elisha following an Elijah too. It will be on you for this last hour, and even the voice that I have put in you. Don't let the outside forces direct or dictate to you. Yes, come up like a young David and speak to that Goliath in your life. Yep. And yes, watch that thing back down, even as you declare and decree the things that should be and you know are in you, and start to flow through you too. So know that this is an important moment for you. Yes, and even as you turn and make a decision to use what I've given you and I've gifted to you, yes, that's where your point of success will be. That's where your mountain of passion will flow and illuminate for me.
Hallelujah. Somebody praise him. Come on. Somebody say, I'm a seer. Stand up real quick. Everybody else sit down for a second. There's an anointing on you. The Lord said, surely there's been some things that wasn't right. But the Lord said, I'm turning around and I'm making it right. And God said, I prepared a platform. And because of your loyalty and love, and because others have turned and gone in a different direction, but you said, no, Lord, I'm going, I'm staying still. I'm going to follow you. The Lord said, don't look to the left or the right, but look straight ahead because the greater days are ahead.
Even an unlikely candidate, it's true, but because of your mother and your grandmother praying for you, and yes, seeking my face and standing in the place, yes, you turned around too. Yes, there was nowhere for you to go. There was nowhere you could flow, but you knew the right thing to do. It was always in you, and you made that decision and you turned around, and now eventually the nations will be waiting for you too. Yes, my hand is upon you, my son, and yes, you will declare and decree, and there are others who'll be in confusion, but you'll bring them up straight because of the prophetic anointing that's on thee. Yes, and the words that you speak, there will be healing too. So don't back down in this hour because of a financial issue. It's only the calm before the storm. It's right before the tsunami overflows upon you.
Hallelujah. Come on, put one hand up and say, Lord, tonight is the last night that I'll ever be looking. Now shout it out, I'm a seer. Come on, give him some praise. Stand up. Lord said, son, I prepared you for such a time as this, and surely I'm going to use you in this day and this hour for this generation, and I am going to bring you visions and dreams. Even now, the Lord said, I'm rearranging and making a platform, and God said, you're going to begin to see a growth. You're going to see them start to come from the north and the south, in the east and the west, and the Lord said, I'm breathing upon this place, this city, because I've placed a word on the inside, and because I can trust you and you're faithful, the Lord said, no, in these days to come, there's going to be incredible increase.
Yes, and even like a snowboarder, even cruising over those hills and jumping those bumps, and you just keep flowing along on top of the surface that I've shown you, don't you see? You keep moving in a direction, and fear does not come near thee. Yes, because of your humility and your desire to do my will, and yes, to get down and to pray it through and not let the enemy come against your mind. Yes, brought up in a home that also knew me. Yes, and brought up with people that, yes, prayed you for you too. Yes, you didn't have a bump in the road like most do. Yes, you kept on going and you flowed through. And yes, you broke through, and even what a breakthrough it was too. Yes, because now the word is in your mouth and the wisdom too, but you love the miraculous. You love to see these things go through. And yes, I'm going to use you supernaturally because you've got a daring do personality. Yes, you dare to do it even in the face of the enemy too.
Somebody praise him a little bit. Everybody just close their eyes just for a moment. The most important thing before we turn this loose, now we could go all night, but we can't. I mean, I'm up for it, but you guys got to work. I respect this, and we have a time limit, and I'm always want to stay right where I don't want to mess up authority. Amen? I submit to authority. We have a pastor. Pastor Jensen Franklin is our pastor in Orange County. We have our offices and our ministry, and we're connected with him, great man of God, and we're submitted to him. I believe being under authority, you have authority. Everybody, just close your eyes for a moment. You're sitting there and said, hey, I just wanted to come and maybe check out. People come sometimes, check out, see what Katy Perry's parents are like, because they always say in the internet and all the magazines that they are religious people. I mean, oh, that's a lie. Come on, I got a relationship. I got a great relationship. That's what God wants to have with you. You might have come here because a friend invited you. It doesn't matter, but maybe you haven't gone to church, or maybe you don't have that relationship, and it's important that we pray before we turn you loose. And listen, the greatest thing you'll ever do in all of your life is to know him and to walk with him. And he loves you just as you are. And he's forgiven you of your past sins, your present sins, and even your future sins. Because we're going to make some mistakes and we're going to sin in the future. Somebody say amen. I want to pray with you. Say, hey, I need prayer. Raise your hand. Said, I want to do it. There's 1, 2, 3. There's 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12. Stand on your feet. If that's you, raise your hand. Stand on your feet. Come on. Stand on your feet. Look at this. Now, give these people a hand. Come on. Look at this. Come on. Hallelujah. Here's what we're going to do for the time's sake. Now listen to me, for the time's sake, we don't have to have you come down here. We could do that, but see, this is between you and the Lord. And then after a service, there's people all around this church that if you need prayer, you could find somebody, it's got a tag on, or you could, if you need a Bible, you can get a Bible. Listen, if you don't go to church, get hooked up. Come on. Because not only should you believe, but you should belong. I mean, you belong to Costco. You belong to Visa, MasterCard, come on.
The gym.
You belong to the health club. You belong to the car associations. You need to belong to the church. And this is a great church. I said, this is a great church. So this is between you and I, between you and the Lord, and we're going to pray. I'm going to pray with you, and I want you to just say this out loud. And then after the service, and we're going to be in the back, so you can come see us and tell me that you made Jesus the Lord of your life. I'd like to meet you anyway. Amen? So I want you to pray, everybody out loud, just bow your head, close your eyes, say, Lord.
Lord,
I thank you.
I thank you
that you love me.
That you love me
more than anyone else in the world.
More than anyone else in the world.
And tonight, I thank you.
I thank you
that you died on the cross.
That you died on the cross.
And you shed your precious blood.
And you shed your precious blood
for me.
For me.
Jesus. I want to serve you.
I want to serve you
the rest of my life.
The rest of my life.
From this night forth.
From this night forth.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now somebody give the Lord a hand for all these that are standing up. Amen. Go ahead, sit down. Let me just say this. Please hang around after you release you and come in the back. Let us know. Some of these people, they want to help you. If you want to, you know, get a Bible, I'm sure they have that. Anything that you need, I'm sure they can get it for you. Quickly, I've got to do, go ahead and sit down just for a moment. I want to release my new book. This is about what I share tonight. It's called Looking and Seeing. It's about this generation. We must see them with our heart and not look with our eyes. And Pastor Jensen Franklin helped me release this recently, and it's going gangbusters. And it's about how to relate to this generation and how to be effective. Come on. And some of it you heard tonight, but there's more in it. And one unique thing about this is it's thin. Look at it. You can finish this book. Turn to somebody and say, you can finish this one. Come on. Amen. So it's going to be back there. I'm going to be signing these books because they're new, and I'll sign them for you. Also, with this book, you get a bad boy pair of glasses. And these are seer glasses, and these things work because I already had a testimony that a mother said, hey, I gave this to my 15-year-old daughter. She was sitting in her bedroom. She yelled at me. I ran in there. I said, what's wrong, baby? She said, Mom, I put these glasses on, and I can see that my room is dirty. But you get the glasses. On the side of these glasses, it has hashtag, I am a seer. So the glasses and the book go together. And a little special. Here, you can take that there. And then my wife's book. I'm going to do a little. How many like a little specials? Come on. I want to do you something really good. This book is called Smart Bombs. It's going this is the third print. It's going all over the world. It's about how the revelation of God grabs a hold of you and how what it does and it explodes in your life. And so this is a thin one too. And so we was over in, I think it was Singapore. And how many know this wouldn't be a great book to be the title Smart Bombs, because you'd think, you know, it's how to build bombs, right? That's what it looks like. It's got a picture of a jet on the front of it. We were over in Singapore. We're going across the border. I had about maybe 500 of them or so, or 1,000. I don't remember. And one of the guards went over and picked one up, and he goes, And he turned it over the back and goes, oh, Joyce Meyer. Okay, come on. Come on, Joyce Meyer.
So we sent Joyce an offering.
Because he looked like Joyce Meyer on the back of that one, amen?
We sent Joyce an offering.
Yeah, and we sent Joyce an offering. And so I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you both books and the glasses for $20. Is that good? Yeah, come on. That's almost giving it to you. And listen, them glasses are not cheap glasses. God, I don't believe in cheap. I mean, there's some pretty good glasses. My wife's got something on.
I do Arise women's conferences all over the world because I want to see women arise and who they are in Christ. Amen? And I do everything when the Lord leads me or gives me a prophetic word. And in 2006, a man gave me a prophetic word that I would raise up women to be bold, to be trailblazers, to think outside the box. Have any women in here like that? Woo! So give us your name and email. We'll keep you apprised of Rise conferences next year. We're doing one next month in Kauai, Hawaii for the men and the women. We figured we should do for couples also, if you can still jump in on that. But I have these scripture
also,
bracelets.
Also, Pastor Jensen Franklin is our keynote speaker.
Yes, for next month. It's going to be awesome, 16th through 18th in the Honeymoon Isle. These are scripture bracelets, a little bling bling, but these go and sponsor all the women in Kona, Hawaii that I bring into the from domestic violence. And they turn from victims to victors, right? With the Word of God, immersed for 3 days.
Now, we just had to, we finished, by the way, we came in late because we just finished the last Bud Light so we could fix, wear her, thing. So, not really, 7-Up is 7-Up tabs anyway. Don't anybody go out here saying that. Amen? Hey, listen, we take a Visa, MasterCard, checks, cash, gold and silver. And recently we've been taking guns and ammunition. I'm a mini prepper. Amen? And so, but we're going to be in the back signing the books, and we want to see you. We love you. Hey, pray for my daughter. Pray for my daughter. Pray for my daughter. It ain't over yet. And how many know when you got parents like this, she ain't got no chance. And can I say this to you? Let me just say something. God is moving in Hollywood and in the industry. That's where we're working in that area because we live around that area. I'm telling you, you'd be surprised who's going to get up and sing for the glory of God. Come on. He is doing it. So don't listen. Don't kick any of them to the curb because you don't know what God's doing behind the scenes. And some of them may shock you, and then you will believe there's a God. Somebody say amen. Thank you so much. Give the Lord a hand. Come on here, Pastor.
Come on, let's give it up for Mary and Keith. They're awesome. Listen, I've been hanging out with them all day. Super cool people. Come on, you guys can do better than that. Thank you for your investment into our lives. Listen, what we want to do as a church, we want to give you guys an opportunity to sow into their ministry. Like I said, man, they are changing Hollywood. They are doing really incredible things for the gospel. And so it's an honor to have them here. It's an honor to just have them impart. Did you guys receive something? Man, I got blown up on the front row over there. I was like, I don't know if I can stand up there. It might fall over. But incredible night, incredible night. We're super pumped. Listen, real quick, if you guys want prayer, they're going to be out there. If you guys want prayer, do we have prayer partners? Do we have prayer partners today? Where's Leo? I didn't see Leo. Cool. If we have prayer partners, if you're a prayer partner, I want you guys to come up front real quick. Listen, if you guys need prayer tonight, anything at all, we want you guys to come up front. But listen, before that, we're going to give you guys an opportunity to sow. We're going to pass the bucket to sow into Keith and Mary's ministry and what they're doing in Hollywood and what they're doing all over the world. So we thank you guys so much for what you're doing, and we thank you for your gift. So we're going to play some music. If you guys need prayer, please come up to the front. If not, we'll see you guys out in the lobby. We love you guys.